You're listening to an audio recording from Brimley Baptist Church. For more resources or to give to this ministry, please visit brimleyworship.com.
Open with a word of prayer. Lord God, I love you, and I do just want to stop and thank you, Lord Jesus, for the fact that we can thank you for the new life that you've given to us, Lord God. Maybe we didn't wake this morning with the praise and the thanks of our salvation in our mind, but Lord, let us remember now it is because of you that we are saved. It is because of you that our sins can be removed. It's nothing other than you. It's only by you. It's only because of you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, we pray as we enter into the service today that you would bless in every way. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you all for being here today. Man, it's a good day. It's a sunny day. We love the springtimes. If you would like, you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 7, next chapter, next verse. As we walk verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the book of Matthew. And so while you're turning there, a few updates on the building across the street. Anybody want to see that building up? Anybody really excited to see things going here? And so the church building update is we ordered the insulation package this past week. And so that's a big deal because once the contractor is confirmed, which hopefully we will see some ground moving over there within this next month time, they need that insulation package. And so that's about 3 weeks out. So it's already ordered. The check has already, they already got the check. So everything's good. The package is moving forward. And so, and we may also be able to save some money on our windows. So we're getting some prices for that. And so hopefully that will work in our favor. And so be mindful of that. Be praying, be sacrificing, and be giving towards the work of the Lord. Remember, seek ye first his kingdom, and then all these things shall be added unto you. And then just be mindful of that. And then also one other thing I want to show you. We got a slide up here is that on Wednesday night, we're getting ready to finish Daniel, the book of Daniel. It's been a great series. We're going to wrap that book up this next Wednesday, and we are going to start the book of Proverbs, God's roadmap for daily living. God's roadmap for daily living. That's going to be every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And there is so many nuggets, practical nuggets of truth. If you've never walked through Proverbs or never read Proverbs, this would be a great way for you to get plugged in to grow in grace. And it's more lecture style, but we also have questions and answers and those kind of things. So I would challenge you, try to be here for this series. It's going to be a great way of growth for you, your family, as well. And so today we're continuing through chapter number 7. Last week we talked about don't be judgy. Don't be judgy. Anybody were here for last week? Trying to tuck my breath mint in here so I don't spit it on Stephen Olive as they're walking forward. Haven't done that yet. I hope I never do that. You know, that'd be terrible. We talked about don't be judgy. And so this week we're looking at discernment with kindness. Discernment with kindness. We live in a world that is either overly critical or completely undiscerning. Some people condemn everyone while others accept everything. But Jesus calls his followers to something greater, a discernment without hypocrisy, prayer without doubt, and love that reflects the heart of the Father. That is the focus of our passage today as we look at Matthew 7, 1 through 12. We're going to briefly just read over the verses last week about don't be judgy, because the verse about discernment is verse number 6, and it ties in with this rest of the chapter as well. And so look at verse number 1. You can read it along with me if you like. It says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. Judge not. Very clear. Very clear. There's only one judge, and it's not you, and it's not me. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eyes? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, and beholdest, there is a beam in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And then point number one, write it down. Discernment, not judgment. Discernment, not judgment. As we look at verse number six, notice this transition. He tells us not to be judging others, but yet here it would almost seem that he's saying, hey, judge, but really it's discern. Discern. Know the difference. Know the difference. Look at verse number six. It says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. That which is holy. Don't give God's word to people that you know already have mocked and will continue to mock the word of God. And it says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, that which is valuable, the word of God, lest they trample them under their feet. They completely reject. You know, this is the propensity. This is what they say. This is what they do. They disregard. It says, and turn again and rend you. This is talking about those who have no desire whatsoever. They've made that crystal clear. We are not to. The Lord says discern that what is holy is not profaned. Be careful. Jesus makes it very important transition from judgment here to discernment. While we are not called to judge others, we are called to be discerning about others. There is a huge difference. And so I will start off by saying, let's define what discernment is. Let's define what discernment is, because I've heard discernment used for all kinds of things that are really just a title for people to judge other people. Discernment is the God-given ability, pay close attention to the next three words, shaped by scripture and spiritual maturity to recognize truth from error and for yourself to choose what is right or righteous. Judgmentalism condemns people from a posture of superiority. Jesus forbids hypocritical condemnation while also commanding us to have wise evaluation. Do you see that? Within the same chapter, and I'll prove it to you, within the same chapter that we are looking at, verse 6 connects strongly to the later warnings in this chapter. You can't, if you do not have discernment, you will not be able to identify wolves in sheep's clothing. It's in the same chapter. How are we to identify unless we don't have discernment? How are we supposed to evaluate fruit? Ye shall know them by their what? Fruit. By their fruit, not their works. Fruit. Avoiding deception. How are we able to avoid deception unless we do not have discernment? Unless some form of discernment is allowed, we won't know the difference. We understand that discernment is from the Lord and a spiritual maturity from walking with the Lord. Verse number 6 balances this out. Judge not hypocritically does not mean abandon discernment. We are commanded to have discernment. And I want to go through just a few points because it's not something that's talked about much. And when it is talked about, discernment is often way off course as far as what it should be. And so I'm just going to go through a handful of things to consider when we're talking about discernment. The first point, A, discernment distinguishes. This is probably the greatest The greatest discernment that we are given through Scripture, through His Spirit, and through a walk with Him is, A, discernment distinguishes from good and evil. Some would say, Pastor, well, any person should know the difference between good and evil. If you believe that, there's a little bit of gullibility on your part, because when you look into the world is calling that which is evil good, and they are calling good evil. Discernment primarily, and we see it in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, when it says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. And I want you to listen to this next part. To discern, to distinguish. What are they supposed to distinguish? Between both good and evil. This is one of the clearest definitions in the Bible of what discernment is. It's to be able to distinguish between what is truly good and what is truly evil according to God's standard, not yours and not mine. Do we see that? Discernment. Discernment involves spiritual maturity, practice distinguishing between opposite moral, morally and spiritually, distinguishing between what is good and what is evil. But it doesn't stop there. Discernment distinguishes good from evil. But then B, discernment tests the truth. We are told in Scripture not to judge, but we are told to test the truth. When you come to church on Sunday, the Bible says that they have were more noble than Thessalonica. I can't. They were more noble because they tested the words of Paul. What church was that? What church? Antioch. Yes, the Bereans. They were more noble than others because when the pastor got up to preach, they didn't just take every word that he said as though it was the gospel truth. They went back and they opened the Scriptures to test, to see if what the pastor was saying was actually true. And I would challenge you, go test what you listen to up against the Word of God, because I am not the final truth. I am not the final practice. The preacher is not. It's God's Word. It's the final authority for faith and practice here at this church and for our lives. It should be. And so distinguish or discernment, test truth. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Listening to every word, listening to the words that come out of their mouth. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Because many false prophets are gone out into what? The world, biblical discernment. Please understand, God does not call Christians to be gullible. Jesus was never gullible. He was never deceived by Judas. He knew everything about Judas. He just chose to be kind to him anyway. Discernment with kindness. Here, the Bible says we are to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We know these phrases, and this is discernment. Biblical discernment is not gullibility. It evaluates teaching, influences, spiritual claims, motives, and fruit. Or not motives, just fruit. See, discernment comes from God's wisdom, not your own. This is another very important truth. Discernment comes from God's wisdom, God's word, not your own. Proverbs 2:3 says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, if thou liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Discernment is directly connected to God's word. It's not apart from it. A person will not be able to discern if they're not discerning through the lens of God's word. It's the filter that we filter everything that's done and said. It's God's wisdom, understanding, knowledge, prudence, and foresight. And listen to this. It's not merely discernment. And this is where we go wrong a lot, because I see people do this sometimes. Discernment is not merely intelligence or skepticism on our part, or it shouldn't be. And if it is, that's judgment it's not discernment. We can be skeptical, but if there's no basis, say, hey, that's judgment, that's not discernment. We discern the words, we discern the fruit of someone's life, and if we're just doing skepticism, if we're just being skeptical, then that's just judgment. D, discernment is always tied to God's word. And we just talked about that. Philippians 1:9 says, "And this I pray, that your love may always abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Another word for discernment. "That ye may approve that those things that are excellent." Discernment helps believers recognize what truly matters. See, discernment is for us in our lives to be able to choose the right paths, to be able to know the difference between a right and wrong, not to be able to judge another person. Discernment helps believers recognize what truly matters, choose what pleases God, and to avoid deception. And then lastly, on this matter of the discernment, discernment involves seeking beneath appearances. Matthew 7, once again, says this. The appearance of someone coming in, he says, wolves in what? Sheep's clothing. Except discernment be there, how do you distinguish? Matthew 7 talks about false prophets may look genuine, right? That's what he says. They may look authentic, but God's discernment and being able to prove and look through the lens of God's word and the fruit that they bear, wolves may look like sheep, seeing beneath the appearance. Houses may appear to be stable, but look at the foundation that they're on. One house, we'll see it, is built on sand. One house is built on the stone. Remember, the spiritual definition of discernment is this. Discernment is God's given ability, shaped by scripture and spiritual maturity, to recognize truth from error and choose what is righteous for yourself. See, discernment distinguishes the fruit and the foundation underneath. Scripture actually commands certain kinds of judgments or discernments for ourselves. And Jesus says himself in John 7:24, "Judge not according to appearance sake." Even the devil, the Bible says, clothes himself as a what? Angel of light. I guarantee he shows up for church every Sunday. Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgments. And we can't see as God sees. All we can see is a person's fruit and listen to their words and see their actions. To discern. A practical way to think about it is this. You are not called to sit in God's throne or on God's throne, but you are called to walk wisely in the world where truth and error both exist. That's why the New Testament repeatedly says believers should test teaching, examine fruit, correct gently, avoid deception, and restore people humbly. As we walk through this chapter, there is a call for discernment throughout this whole entire chapter. I love what Proverbs 14:15 says. It says, the simple, the gullible, those who are naive, the gullible to God's word, the simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his goings. So we see discernment, not judgment. Be discerning through God's word, through God's wisdom. But then number two, and it bleeds into the rest of the chapter, because remember, discernment with kindness. See, Jesus was never deceived by Judas, but he still chose to be kind. As we continue to walk through this chapter, the Lord is saying, hey, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Be kind as my Father has been kind to you. And we're looking at next, it's a transition, but it connects perfectly. Point number two, a pattern for prayer. When a person realizes they need wisdom, what are we supposed to do? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men what? Liberally and unbraideth not, but let him ask in faith. Here, Jesus transitions into a pattern of prayer. He transitions us from the need for discernment to our need for prayer. Look at verse number 7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Ask for it. Seek after it. Knock on it. Ask for it. Seek after it. Knock on it. I love how Jesus says, I am the door. I am the door, Jesus would say about himself. Here Jesus promises, or here Jesus gives us a simple pattern for prayer, and I love that it comes with a promise. Look at verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. For everyone that asketh, what's that next word? Receiveth. And he that seeketh, what's that next word? Findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. I love how God says, hey, pray, hey, ask, hey, seek, hey, knock. And when we do it, God wants to answer. God wants to bless. God wants to open the door. See, here Jesus is telling us to pray and we shall receive. Now, this isn't the name it and claim it of our culture today. There is an element of faith and seeking after God's will here. The problem is a lot of times there's a couple different reasons why our prayers don't get answered. Number one, we're not asking. Prayer, think about this. Ask, seek, and find. Prayer is a sign of dependency on God, not on self. When a person chooses not to pray, they're showing a spirit of self-dependency instead of God-dependency. If you got up this morning and you ran out of your house, say before saying, hey, God, give me this day my daily bread, you know what you're saying? God, I got this today. I'm good. I don't need you. Maybe tomorrow I'll come and check in with you. We're called to pray every day. Hence the prayer, Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. God intends for us to be dependent upon God every day. The way that we show that is by getting upon our knees and seeking him. While our Heavenly Father is the supplier of all our needs, even this day's daily bread, our greatest need is to call out to him for the saving of our souls and the forgiveness of our sins. There is no greater thing that we can seek after God for than asking him, Lord, give me my salvation. Give me the salvation that only you can. It's seeking the Lord for that salvation. I love what Psalms 145, 18 says. It says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. I love that when I call upon the Lord primarily for my salvation, I have a promise from God in Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I'm so glad that I don't have to lay my head down every night before I go to sleep and wonder, am I going to get to heaven? All of my hope is in Jesus. Because when we call out to him, when we put our faith solely in him, hey, he gives us what we seek after. I love Isaiah 55, 6 and 7, it says, or 6, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And seek the Lord. I love the other scripture in Psalms. It says, when you search for me, when you seek me and search for me with your whole heart, then and only then, hey, you will find me, he says. I love what Psalms 86:5 says. It says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. I'm so glad that there isn't one person in this room that if you were to call upon God for your soul today, I'm glad that there's not one person in this room that God would reject. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, today, we can't walk across this scripture, and we can't go through this scripture without me asking you the question, have you called upon God for your soul, the saving of your soul? Have you went to the Father and said, Lord Jesus, please forgive me? Lord, please wash me by the blood of Jesus. Please forgive me of my sins. Please give me the gift of eternal life. If all you do is come to church, then you're missing it. Your soul hangs in the balance. Recognize your need for the Lord. He is ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon him. Do you see that there is a response on your part? You must ask. You must ask. What's the profit if a man gain the whole world but lose his own soul? James chapter 4:2 says, would say to us today, you have not because you ask not. You know, the problem that we don't often get what we desire is because we don't simply go to the Lord and say, Lord, that's what he's saying to us. But here's another element that couples, it's intertwined with prayer, cannot be removed from prayer. Think about this. What good is it for you to pray for something you don't believe God will give you? We often miss in prayer the element of faith. Matthew 21:22 says, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. When you go to the Lord and you hold God at his word and say, God, I see my need for salvation. He says, guess what? When you put your faith in Christ alone, when you put your faith in Christ, hey, he makes a promise to you. Hey, you will be saved. And it's the same for those prayers. Jesus is telling us to pray boldly, believing, and he goes on to tell us why in point number three, the reason that we can pray boldly. The reason that we can pray boldly. Look at verse number 9 of chapter 7. Or what man is there? So he's coming off of ask, seek, knock. When you ask, believing, hey, you receive. When you seek, you'll find. When you knock, the door shall be opened unto you. And then he transitions to a relationship aspect. Verse number 9 says, or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread? Think about this. If his son ask bread, will give him a stone. Or if he ask, verse number 10, a fish, will he give him a serpent or a poisonous snake? Jesus highlights the relationship here, and I want you to notice the transition between a child and a father. He's bringing this connection together, and he says, what kind of dad, what kind of father would give his kids a bag of rocks when he comes to his dad for some food? Anybody in here do that? I mean, I hope not. You might want to taunt your kids a little bit. I completely get that. But, you're gonna desire to bless your kids. Oh, what kind of dad in here would, when his kid asks for some food, going to bring him in a poisonous snake? None. Jesus is highlighting any good earthly father will take care of his children. But then he highlights how much better is the blessing of our Heavenly Father upon us than our earthly father? This is what he's highlighting. Look at verse number 11. If ye then, being evil or worldly, carnally minded in this world, right? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. He is highlighting the difference between an earthly father blessing upon his children compared to the blessings that only a heavenly father could pour out on his children. We can pray boldly to our heavenly father because he cares infinitely more than our earthly father ever will. And I want you to think about this. If you're a dad or a mom in here, I want to challenge you to constantly remind your children of this. God the Father loves your children more than you ever will. And you need to remind them of this constantly. And I love my kids. I would die for my kids, but how much more? It's inconceivable how much more. A scripture clarifies it. How much more? Your heavenly Father loves your kids than you ever could. I remind my kids all the time, hey, have you talked to your heavenly Father about it? Have you asked your heavenly, because there's sometimes your kids are going to come tap you out and they're going to be like, man, I don't have what you need, but I know who does. Your heavenly Father does. And it's about helping them, connecting them to your heavenly Father, because someday, hey, me and you, we're going to be gone. But their heavenly Father will always be there to help them, to provide for them. And give them the greatest gift that could ever be given. Luke chapter 11 kind of gives us another picture of this when it says in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Yes, we feed our children, we clothe our children, we bless our children. But there is something that God the Father can give us that no earthly father could ever give us. And I love what it says. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Hey, as much as my kids could ask me, I could never forgive their sins. I could never repay. I could never help them with that situation. But their heavenly Father can. He can bless them in ways that you and I never could. Hey, point your children. Make your children dependent upon him. You'll never regret it. And then number four, and we'll close with this. The Father's model for treating others. Discernment. Discernment with kindness. Discernment with kindness. Hey, you're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to condemn. You're not supposed to, look at others from a lens of super spirituality, self-righteousness. But we are absolutely supposed to be kind in the Father's model for treating others. Look at verse number 12. Therefore, or because of. Therefore, or because of all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Right here, therefore, or because of. Therefore, or because of what? Because you have a good heavenly Father. That's what. That's the therefore. That's the because of. Because God is good to you when you weren't good. Therefore, because of. All things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even to them. The Father's example becomes the model for how we treat others. Has God been good to you? Raise your hand if God the Father has been good to you. You know what he's saying? We all identify that God the Father is good to us. He says, you know what I want you to do, Steve? I want you to go out and be good to somebody else. Hey, Bill, God been good to you? I want you to go out and be good to somebody else. Hey, Lily Mae, God's been good to you? Hey, go out and be good to somebody else. Hey, Bree, God's been good to you. Go out. Landon, God's been good to you. Brandon, hey, God's been good to you. Go out and be good to somebody else. It's funny how sometimes we can get any self-focused, selfish mentality where it's like we want the blessings, but we don't want to go out and bless. Jesus teaches that because the Father has been gracious and patient, kind and merciful towards you, hey, we should reflect that same heart towards others. The Father's model for treating others is not judging them harshly, else we'd all be condemned. It's not looking down on them, else he would never look at us. It's not acting spiritually superior towards us or condemning them. Instead, we are called to love people, show grace, demonstrate kindness, treat others the way that our Father has treated us. But we sure do get this thing mixed up. Grace received should become grace demonstrated. Yeah, hey, be discerning, but be kind. Hey, be wise, don't be gullible, but be kind. Ephesians 4:32, we love it, the golden rule, but how often do we live it? When it says, be ye kind one to another. We know what it sounds like, but how often we don't live it out. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Well, I'm going to hold a grudge, and I'm going to be bitter, and I'm going to be angry. But God, will you forgive me? What? Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath what? Forgiven you. Hey, extend that same grace. Yes, be wise, but extend grace. How you doing in that area? The way God treats his children should shape the way his children treat people. You call yourself a child of God. Are you treating others the way that he has treated you? Are you blessing others the way that he has blessed you? Are you dumping out grace, mercy, and all of those things on others? Or are you taking them to task? Are you judging them? Are you belittling them? Are you condemning them? Or are you pouring out the same grace and mercy that God has poured out on you? With heads bowed and eyes closed, my wife's going to come and sit at the piano this morning. And as we take a time of reflection, with nobody looking around, I would ask you to think about a few things. Be thinking about how God spoke to you. Jesus reminds us that before we can reflect on the goodness of the Father, we must first know the Father. We must first be a child of the Father. You know, today, have you ever reached out to the Lord? Maybe today you feel the Lord drawing you. This is your time. This is your time. Maybe you've never called out to the Lord. Jesus said to ask, seek, and knock. And the promise is that the Father hears those who call upon him. Salvation is not found in ourselves. It is found in Jesus Christ alone, who died for our sins and rose from the grave that we might be saved. Maybe there's somebody in this room that they know about Jesus. They know what he's done on the cross for them. They know that he rose from the grave, but you have never called out to him for your salvation. Listen, your Father wants to give you right now the gift of salvation. Will you call out to him? Will you call out to your Heavenly Father? Will you ask him for it right now? Father, forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died on the cross for me and rose from the grave for me. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, give me that gift of eternal life. Hey, if you don't ask, you won't get it. But at the same time, he's got his hands extended to you today, saying, I want to bless you more than you can possibly imagine. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to ask, but the Lord is good and he's willing to forgive. If you have never trusted in Christ, today is the day. Call upon him in faith for your salvation. He will save you. He absolutely will. But you have to call out to him. Are you willing? Have you called out to him? Or do you just call yourself, and listen, you can't always be a Christian. That's not scriptural. There has to be a point in time where you are born into the family of God, where you are adopted by the Father. Don't fall for the lie that you've always been a Christian. Hey, choose today to be a child of God. I don't know how God spoke to you today. Is it living with discernment, not a judgmental spirit? Is it depending on God through prayer, not yourself? Is it to reflect the Father's grace that he's given to you on the same people that maybe irritate you a little bit or irk you a little bit? Is it to extend grace to those who maybe don't see the way you see or have wronged you? Hey, remember, you want that grace. Well, you got to be willing to extend that grace to others. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, the worship team's going to come. Let us pray. Lord God, I come to you and I am grateful today for your perfect, infallible word. Lord God, if there's nothing else to take away today, Lord, I pray that we call ourselves Christians and we call ourselves children of the Father. I pray that when we go out of here, that we would display the same grace and mercy to others that you have displayed to us in kindness. You know, it's your character. When I even think about Judas, Lord Jesus, kissing you, you still chose to be kind, even though you knew what he was going to do. It just blows my mind. And Lord, this just is another reason that we can identify as a church and as individuals. We can't do it without you. This is a fruit of the Spirit that only you can give. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be so focused on the works, but that we would come to you and have a relationship with you, that the fruit of the Spirit would show forth in our lives, that love, that joy, that peace, that gentleness, that long-suffering, the kindness, all the things that we can't manufacture on our own. I pray that we wouldn't be a church that just comes to church on Sunday and goes out, lives our lives, but I pray that we would show up Monday morning and walk with our Heavenly Father and spend time reading and getting to know you, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would do a great work. I pray that you would take this word and nail it to our hearts by the Holy Spirit, attaching those words from within, that we could not escape them, that your word would not return void within us. Lord, I ask and pray this in your precious and holy Son's name. Amen. Let's all stand.
If you would like more information about today's sermon or how to become a follower of Jesus Christ, please visit the Contact Us page at brimleyworship.com.